protéger la propriété intellectuelle de nos industriels.
Le droit d'auteur.
Technology intellectual property.
R2PI. R2PI, le podcast de la propriété intellectuelle.
Chers auditeurs, chères auditrices, bienvenue sur R2PI, votre podcast de propriété intellectuelle. Ici, on parle de pays, on en parle entre amis, mais surtout, on vous en parle. Bonne écoute!
Hello, dear listeners, and welcome back to R2PI, the Intellectual Property Podcast. We are here today live from IIPPI for the World Congress that's being held in Istanbul. I have with me Mr. Kon Bivank, and Ms. Vidisha Dirk. Hello, Kon and Vidisha.
Hi.
Could you please briefly introduce yourselves? Maybe we start with the ladies first.
Okay. I'm Vidisha. I am an Indian patent attorney. Practicing for last 20 years. I am also associated with AIPPI for last like more than 15 years and actively involved in standing committee on patents.
Okay, Kon.
So hello everybody. I'm Kon Bivank. I'm both a patent attorney and an attorney at law at the Brinkhoff firm in Amsterdam in the Netherlands. I focus on litigation and have been doing that for quite some time. And I'm involved in AIPPI as the chair of the Standing Committee on Patents. I've been involved with some other things as well, but I think for the topic of today, the focus really is on a work product of our Standing Committee.
Exactly. So our topic for the day is patent working requirements. So could you briefly tell us what are patent working requirements?
Patent working requirements are basically like in India, these are very rigid environment requirements. Where a patentee is required to inform patent office whether he is commercializing his patented invention in the country or not. So these requirements require the patentee to keep track of how much he is manufacturing, how much he is selling and offering it to public, and that information is yearly filed at the patent office. So this is basically the purpose of the working requirement is to make sure that the patented invention is worked in India and the patented products are made available to the public.
Yeah, I think historically the working requirement is part of the quid pro quo behind the patent system, where somebody who has contributed to the state of the art receives a monopoly for a certain period of time in return of enriching the state of the art. And as part of that, we often refer to the publication of the invention in the patent application. But I think, at least in the beginning, the working requirement was seen as part of that, because what we obviously don't want is for somebody to come up with a great invention and then not use it and at the same time be able for 20 years to stop other people from using it as well. So that means that if we want society to have the benefit of the advance in technology, then there is a requirement of also actually using your invention in practice so that society as a whole can have the benefit.
And do international conventions, for example, TRIPS or maybe the Paris Convention, refer to these requirements as well, or are they only national provisions?
Paris Convention briefly refers to, but they have left it on to the national countries to decide whether to have these requirements or not.
Yeah, and generally I think and that's the reason why, as the Patents Committee in AIPPI, we picked up this topic. It's something where the law really isn't harmonized, where there's a lot of differences in national legislation. So we thought it would be interesting to give an overview of how the working requirement is implemented in the law in the different countries across the world.
So based on your committee's work, do all countries have working requirements, or are some of them just excluding them from their national provisions?
Basically, it depends on the need of a country. For example, developing countries where the industry is not well developed, so they have, like in, for example, India, so they have kept this requirement as a mandatory requirement because they want all the patented inventions to be worked and the products to be provided to the public. So developing countries want such requirements so that the inventions are worked and the industry and their economy grow. Whereas there is a conflict between the interest of developing and non-developing countries. Developing countries do not want these requirements because they bind a patentee to work them in their country. So there is a conflict, and In our study, we found that many countries have this requirement, but most of the countries don't have these requirements.
Yeah, so in the laws in more developed countries, you still see sometimes the working requirement there in different forms and shapes. But in practice, it is hardly ever relied upon, either by the government or the patent office or third parties. So it exists, but it attracts much less attention.
So in your report, you also mentioned the policy options and why some national laws can have these patent working requirements. What, in your opinion, are the overall rationales behind adding them, other than just the difference between developing and non-developing countries?
I think the major argument to require the invention to be used by the patentee is to make sure, like I said before, that society has the benefit of the contribution to the technology. A reason not to have the requirement so strictly applied is probably because it's often felt that it creates an administrative burden on the patentee. It depends on how it is actually implemented, but in some countries it requires quite a bit of paperwork to show that you and when and to what extent you have used the invention in practice, whereas in other countries, for instance, you can also show that you have given a license to somebody, and that in itself might be enough. So it really depends, and I think those are probably the major arguments pro and against.
Mm-hmm. Also, sometimes in some countries, court do not use discretion while granting injunction. So there, the requirement may become important. So this may be also one reason. Also, working requirements become a reason for granting compulsory license also.
Okay. Yeah, that was the following question I had was, how do you meet the working requirement in general? How do you prove such working requirement? Because you were just mentioning court proceedings, for instance.
I think probably India is a better example because, like I said, in many developed countries, there is not so much of a burden on a patent owner to show that he uses the invention, whereas in India there was quite an elaborate system.
Yeah. So in India, it is a mandatory requirement on the patentee to file working requirements yearly. So every year, India has a financial year from April till March of next year. So we have to file a working requirement for that particular financial year. In that statement of working requirement, a patentee is required to file the details and quantums and prices and value which occurs from the sales of those product, patented product. Every information has to be provided. However, although this requirement is a mandatory requirement, yet patent office has never ever till now, based on this lack of this requirement not being met, has ever granted any compulsory license or taken any action against the patentee. So as of now, it is considered as a burdensome requirement, but yet it is there.
And
Maybe ask Vidisha a question on that? Because I'm not sure if we focus that in the report so much, but all this information can be commercially quite sensitive.
Yes.
Is the information confidential or does it become public?
No. All the information is published on the patent office website, but if the patentee requests the patent office, this information can be kept confidential.
Okay, that's very interesting. And is there any way for the patentee to legitimize not using working their patent for a specific financial year, for instance?
Yes. If a patentee is not working the invention, then they can file a statement of not worked. And giving the reason why not worked, maybe that he is still trying to commercialize it, he's trying to find partners or licensees, etc. So this information can be provided. However, if there is any third party who is interested in working that patent, they can file a request for compulsory license.
Okay. And I want to do the parallel with trademarks, where you have to use your trademark in the first 5 years after you you deposit it. Otherwise, your right gets stripped out or taken away. Is it the same for patents in India or not?
Yes. In India, we have to work the patent within 3 years mm-hmm. from the date of grant of the patent.
Okay. And then you mentioned the compulsory licensing in case of non-working. So is that the only consequence of not complying with the working requirements?
That is one of the consequences. Otherwise, also in case of like litigation, infringement action Also, infringers do take up this matter before the court that this invention is not properly being worked. Therefore, if we are working this invention, then we should be allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm. Is it the same for you, Ken?
Some of it is the same. So in most countries in Europe, there is no direct consequence if you don't use the invention as the patent owner or the inventor. But third parties can request a compulsory license to use the invention that has been patented. The difficulty is, of course, that if you're the third party, you would then probably have to provide evidence that the invention is not being used. And when you think of process patents, where the patent owner may use the process without anybody knowing it because it's being used in a factory or a plant, and that is not necessarily accessible to the public. So that is quite a heavy burden, and there aren't many examples where third parties have relied on this provision to request a compulsory license. It's very rare.
Mm-hmm. Is it the same in India, Vidisha?
Yes.
But other than that, you had mentioned injunctions as well. So in case you find out that a patent is not being worked, and before asking for a compulsory license, do you have to ask the patentee to work it before you ask for a compulsory license, or maybe try to become a licensee? Like, is that an obligation to negotiate before you ask for the compulsory license, or not at all?
For obtaining a compulsory license, the process is that the third party has to approach the patentee and request them to provide them a license to work the invention. So they cannot force the patentee to work it, but they can request for a license from the patentee.
Okay.
Yeah,
and that's similar in Europe. But if you then want to take the next step as the third party because the patentee refuses to give a license or you don't like the conditions, then you have to prove that the patent owner is not using the invention.
Okay. You were mentioning also the study. So I think for non-AIPPI members that are listening to us, could you briefly explain the report that your committee has drafted on this topic? Just in general, so you were mentioning that because it's not a matter of national law that is harmonized, that is why the committee decided to work on it. So can you briefly tell us about your work, your findings, and what's next for this report?
So maybe I can comment on the process that we followed, and maybe Vidisha, you can add on the substance. So the patents committee is quite large, and for this topic we formed a subcommittee, and that was chaired by Vidisha, so she is really in charge of the entire project. But as a standing committee within AIPPI, we have a lot of members in the committee of different countries, and so there's a lot of knowledge that we could build on, and that's what we did. So instead of reaching out to people outside of the committee or outside of AIPPI even, we prepared a questionnaire, or rather, Vidisha subcommittee prepared a questionnaire that was distributed within the committee, and then we collected all the answers and put that into a summary report that you have seen, and that has now been approved by the Bureau of AIPPI, and we hope will be published on the website soon, so for people to consult and to make use in their practice. And in that way, we provide, hopefully, a useful source.
It's a good reference paper to understand different requirements in different countries. So we have summarized it in three parts, like countries having the working requirements, countries not having the working requirements, and countries having different sort of requirements. So it's a good study paper and a reference document.
Yes, because I have also seen that there were many summary reports before that kind of mentioned the topic, but I think really this is one of the few papers that are really cohesive and complete around this topic. Can you confirm?
As far as we know, yes. Yeah.
Yes.
So after it is approved, it will be published on AIPPI's website. And then is there like any effort for harmonization between the members of the patent committee, or what's next for you after that publication?
I think for our committee, that is probably where the project will end for now. The way that AIPPI works is that there is a quite complex and involved process for coming to a resolution that is in the end supported by all the national groups that are part of AIPPI. And that means that it has to be endorsed by enough of the members of the national groups and of the executive committee. And that requires a lot more than what we have done. Every year, as you know, we have four study questions, and they're discussed by the national groups, and then there is a long discussion at the Congress to come to a final text of a resolution, which usually also encourages harmonization. And in an area where the laws are quite far apart, that is not so easy to find a compromise. And then to add that for a topic like that on top of all the other study questions, that was in the short term a bit too much for the organization as a whole to use this elaborate process to come to a proposal for harmonization. But hopefully, of course, in the future, it can be picked up for a study question.
Okay. Do you have any final words you would like to add to everything that we have just talked about?
Well, I'm just very happy to see this work product. I'm very proud of the subcommittee and of Vidisha's work. I'm glad to see the report approved by the Bureau, and we're going to take on the next topic in the coming months, and hopefully we can have a similar conversation about that topic too in the future.
Yeah, we look forward to working on a new topic and getting something good.
Well, thank you both very much for taking the time to speak to us during the conference. We know that it's a very hectic few couple of days for everyone attending. And thank you to our committee for graciously providing us with the report. We will be linking to it once it's published, when this episode is posted. And to all of our listeners, we will see you soon. Bye.
Thank you very much.
Merci d'avoir écouté R2PI, un podcast proposé par le CEPI. Retrouvez notre actualité sur le site du podcast et sur nos comptes Twitter, Instagram et LinkedIn. Les liens sont en description de l'épisode. Vous pouvez également nous écrire par email à l'adresse r2pi.contact@gmail.com. À la semaine prochaine.